second place up.
And I've ordered that the full resources of the federal government go to help the victims and their families, and to conduct a full-scale investigation to hunt down and to find those folks who committed this act.
Former President Bush on 9/11 talking about the aftermath and what we did after the attacks that hit the towers, took down a plane in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, Flight 93, and of course the flight that hit the Pentagon. So it was a day that was 16 years ago today, and joining us now, Mark Thiessen, best-selling author, terror expert, former speechwriter for President Bush, and a Fox News contributor. Mark, what are your thoughts on 9/11 16 years later?
Yeah, this morning around this time, I was in the Pentagon when the planes hit. I felt
where were
the building shake. I was a couple quarters down from the point of impact. I felt the building shake. I smelled the smoke. My wife was 8 months pregnant with our first child, and the phone lines were down, and so she didn't know for probably about 5 or 6 hours whether or not her still unborn child had a father. We finally got word to her mom up in Maine who is that I was okay. And she was actually in the Capitol. So if it had not been for the heroes who brought down that plane in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, she might have been a target as well.
And what were you doing at the time in the Pentagon? Were you with the Bush administration?
I was chief speechwriter for President George Secretary of Defense Don Rumsfeld. And in the weeks and months that followed this day, September 11, 2001, I traveled about 250,000 miles around the world with him, 50 countries, first to visit into Afghanistan, literally while the Taliban were being driven from Kabul, first visits into Iraq after the fall of Saddam Hussein. So I really had a front row seat to history and saw firsthand, both from the Pentagon perspective and also on the battlefronts of the Middle East, how we responded to this day. And to, you know, the fact of the matter is that thanks to the policies and the response of the Bush administration, we went for the rest of the entire term of the administration without a catastrophic mass casualty attack on the United States. And today, those policies that he put in place are still protecting us.
And you also feel as though you made, and nobody could argue this, tremendous progress in killing off old school Al Qaeda. Mohammed Atef,
absolutely.
their defense minister, whatever you want to call the terrorist, he was killed right away. And the only guy still out there among the upper echelon is Zawahiri.
Yeah, but you know, there are young people who've come up the ranks. I mean, if you think about on September 11, 2001, if you go back and think, we didn't know who had attacked us. We knew it was Al Qaeda, but we didn't know, for example, on 9/11. We didn't know that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was the mastermind of 9/11. We didn't know that he was the operational commander of Al-Qaeda. We didn't know what other cells he had out there who were planning follow-on attacks. We didn't know who was still among us and who had attacked us, what they wanted. And it was only because we began to capture these people and interrogate them that we found out the answers. And the truth is that on September 11, 2001, they already had plans underway for follow-on attacks. They had a plan underway to blow up the U.S. consulate in Karachi. They had a plan underway to fly a plane into Heathrow Airport and buildings in downtown London. They were going to do to Big Ben the same thing that they did to the World Trade Center. They had a cell of KSM on September 11, 2001 knew that after 9/11 we would be on the hunt for Arab men. So he had assembled a team of Southeast Asian terrorists from a terrorist group called Jamaat Islamiyah. It's called the Garaba cell. And those folks were awaiting orders to carry out a plot for the second wave of attacks, which was to hijack a plane and fly it into the Library Tower in Los Angeles, which is now the U.S. Bank Tower, second at the tallest building on the West Coast. Those people were captured in Karachi, Pakistan. They included trained pilots. And that was all through the CIA interrogation program. So we dismantled core al-Qaeda, as President Obama called it, and stopped them from carrying out these attacks because we captured these people alive and got them to tell us their plans. And Barack Obama canceled. We don't interrogate people anymore. Doesn't happen. Trump hasn't started it yet either. You know, he promised he would, but we're not there yet. If we want to keep this country safe in the long run, we've been dining out on the intelligence that was gathered from the CIA interrogation program for the last 16 years, and eventually the food pantry is going to be empty because there's a new generation of leaders coming up, and we don't have the same kind of insight into their plans,
no.
Who they are, what their plots are that we did.
And no CIA member who doesn't want to get sued, risk being sued after they saw how they got personally liable thanks to Eric Holder. You know, they're not going to do it. Even if they say their Justice Department at the time will greenlight them, they're worried about the next one. But I'm talking to Mark Thiessen right now, who was in the Pentagon for 9/11 and then wrote a book on these Islamic extremists, was a bestseller, and then became President Bush's speechwriter. And I got to get to your take on Steve Bannon calling out President Bush and his administration and give you a chance to respond. Here is Steve Bannon on 60 Minutes. This is the shorter version, cut 14.
The geniuses in the Bush administration that let China in the WTO, and genius in the Bush administration told us, hey, they're going to be a liberal democracy, they're going to be free market capitalism, okay? The same geniuses that got us into Iraq. That's the geniuses of the Bush administration. I hold these people in contempt, total and complete contempt. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. It gets all over me like nothing else. And you know why? They're idiots.
Your reaction?
He sounds like Nancy Pelosi. He sounds like Code Pink. I mean, you know, this is the stuff we used to hear. When I worked in the White House, we would hear the chants of the Code Pink people out on the in Farragut Park outside the White House with the drums going and saying Bush lied and people died. And to hear somebody who was until recently a senior advisor in a Republican administration sounding like Code Pink is pretty pathetic. The reality is, look, were there mistakes made during the Bush administration? Yes, of course there were. There were mistakes made in every war. But the reality is that the actions we took, the actions President Bush took, kept the country safe. We found these people. We tracked down the terrorists who planned this attack. We stopped them from carrying out planned follow-on attacks by breaking up the cells and taking those people off the streets. And he shouldn't have contempt for these people. He should have gratitude because, Washington, D.C. wasn't hit again. Breitbart headquarters wasn't hit again because of the efforts of the Bush administration.
I don't want to name names.
Well, you have to name names because you're painting with a broad brush, and that's unfair.
The Condi Rice, the George W. Bush, his entire national security apparatus, and the
Brent
national
Scowcroft, security. Colin Powell.
Yes.
Condi Rice.
Absolutely.
Dick
all of
Cheney.
All of it.
All of it.
All of it. All of it. By the way, the Obama crowd, almost the same. Clinton crowd, almost the same. It's three administrations.
It's disgusting. But look, I don't want to focus on Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon is a fired former staffer and a short-term staffer in a White House he's irrelevant. You know what we need to focus on is what are we going to do today to make sure that we stop the next terrorist attack? Because these, as we're speaking here now, Brian, they're plotting. They're plotting
right.
In Yemen. They're plotting in Syria. They're plotting in all these different places to try and attack us. And this idea that we followed the non-interventionist policy for the last 8 years under Barack Obama in Syria, and look what's happened.
Well, I mean, President,
you know, people say.
Yeah. President Trump has helped accelerate the push out of Mosul. So ISIS is destroyed in Iraq, except for some wives and kids, believe it or not. And in Raqqa, we're beginning to level the place. So I think that is true. I think the bigger problem with Islamic extremists is within the enemy within in Europe. They don't seem to be taking it serious, and their people are paying the price for it. But I want to – the real reason why I booked you, Mark, I had no idea that Steve Bannon was going to call out George Bush, and I wanted to give you an opportunity to explain. So and you took it. But I do want to talk about something that's really gnawed at me, because I remember the Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld talking about missile defense and everyone saying, you don't have anything to worry about. You don't have anything to worry about when it comes to missile defense. And Democrats almost destroyed the program. And right now we're naked to an ICBM attack because we stopped accelerating missile defense. Where are we at, Mark? Give us some history.
So, you know, the Democrats have made opposition to missile defense an article of faith since Ronald Reagan announced SDI 3.5 decades ago. Ted Kennedy named it Star Wars and actually collaborated with the Soviets to try and stop it. And when George H.W. Bush came into office, he started a program to deploy limited ballistic missile defense. That was reversed by President Clinton. He came into office, cut missile defense by 80%, vetoed defense authorization bills because they mandated the deployment of missiles. missile defense, opposed withdrawal from the ABM treaty, which was the treaty that barred us from deploying national missile defense. When George W. Bush came into office, the guy that Steve Bannon reviles so much for being stupid, he withdrew from the ABM treaty and dramatically increased funding for ballistic missile defense, put us on track to where we would have a national missile defense system with 40 interceptors in California and Alaska. We would have had we were accelerating the development of what's called boost phase attack. When do you want to hit a ballistic missile? You want to hit a ballistic missile just as it's taking off, when it's attached to a huge aluminum tube filled with jet fuel moving very slowly, not after it separates into space and then starts descending, where you have to hit a bullet with a bullet. So we are putting millions and millions and millions of dollars into billions of dollars into boost phase weapons. Barack Obama came into office, he canceled all of them.
Yep.
He eliminated the two systems that we had in place to develop for boost phase attack. He eliminated what's called the multiple kill vehicle, which was, so you've got our defenses are hit a bullet with a bullet. The Bush plan was to put multiple bullets on those things. So you have 10 bullets for each bullet you're trying to take out for every interceptor. And he cut ballistic missile defense funding by 25%. And so the result is now we have a North Korean threat that is about to emerge, and we don't have boost phase defenses. He cut the number of interceptors in California and Alaska, so we don't have enough interceptors to protect us, and we don't have multiple bullets on those interceptors because of Barack Obama. So we're not naked against the threat. We have a system that's about 50% effective in testing, so we have something. But we don't have what we should have, and it's because for 35 years, the Democrats have been ideologically, religiously opposed to ballistic missile defense. And so if you're worried about a North Korean missile attack, blame the Democrats, because that's why we don't have the defenses.
And if you don't believe Mark Thiessen, and Mark has such an important column today, but there's so much breaking news with the natural disasters in Texas and Florida and 9/11 and Benghazi 2012, that it might get smothered, and it shouldn't, because we have to deal with North Korea, and there's going to be a movement to get additional sanctions, and they have threatened the retaliation. So in case you think that Mark Thiessen is glossing over or maybe making too much of the apprehension Democrats showed, let's go on the Wayback Machine to the year 2001. Here's Senator Joe Biden, cut 34.
Seems to me the president's response to that vulnerability is exactly the opposite in what our priority should be. The thing we remain the least vulnerable to, is an ICBM attack from another nation. With a return address on, the nation firing that, knowing that they will, in fact, be annihilated and obliterated.
Oops. He goes on. Cut 35.
No new enemy has fielded an ICBM missile, which is the only missile our national missile defense is intended to stop. Tactical missile defense is not barred by the ABM treaty, and Russia has said it would even amend the treaty to permit expanded U.S. testing programs. So where is the jeopardy to our supreme interest?
Where is it, Mark Thiessen?
Yeah, the beautiful thing about the internet is you can get all this stuff again. Your words live forever. I mean, the reality is Joe Biden was more upset about Bush's withdrawal from the ABM treaty than Vladimir Putin. Russians were like, okay, whatever, doesn't matter. it's absurd. And the reality is we shouldn't have no constraints on our ability to protect our country. The idea that we should live in a world of mutually assured destruction with Kim Jong-un is absolutely patently absurd. The fact that anyone would argue that we shouldn't have defenses because that's destabilizing against a mad dictator in North Korea. You can't deter the Kim Jong-un the way we did the Soviet Union because he's not a rational actor. You can't depend on him not to fire a missile. We don't want to live in a world. And what's going to happen if North Korea gets the ability to hit us with a ballistic missile and destroy an American city? You know what they're going to do? They're going to invade South Korea. And they're going to say, are you going to trade Seoul for New York to America? And the answer is going to be no. So they want to forcibly reunify the Korean Peninsula.
Yep.
And they're going to destroy our alliances. They're going to wreak havoc in East Asia. And we're going to be powerless to do anything about it because we don't want to risk New York and Washington and Seoul and Chicago to a North Korean missile.
And Senator Joe Biden let us know exactly that we should always remember to do the exact opposite in which he recommends. Thank goodness he is not president, although he seems like a good guy. He is totally incompetent as a senator and a vice president, and that's been glossed over. Mark, important story. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Talk to you later, Brian.